Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And Jesus said, "The Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." In the early morning hours of February 18th, 1546, Martin Luther closed his eyes for the last time in this temporal life. And the hand that hammered the 95 Theses into the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg on the 31st of October, 1517, had already penned their final words. "We are all beggars. This is true. Wir sind alle Bettler." Words found on the slip of paper in Luther's pocket. "We are all beggars. This is true." And this is the truth that our Lord says makes you free. Ironic, isn't it? That in order to be free, you must be a beggar. You must be utterly dependent and reliant upon God. You must be, in fact, the paralytic in today's text from the Holy Gospel. And this makes us uncomfortable. You know, the way we're uncomfortable when someone gets us a Christmas or a birthday present when we haven't gotten them one back in return. We feel we owe them, and we don't much like being in someone's debt. But Dr. Luther reminds us with his last words that we are all indeed beggars before a holy God. We're not just anyone's beggars. We're God's beggars. And this is Luther's legacy to the Christian church. Christ came for sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to heal the sick, raise the dead. He came for sinners, and he dwells only with sinners. And if we are to be where he is, we must be willing to be counted among the lost and the sick and the paralyzed and the dead. We must be willing to be beggars. To be the one who cries out humbly for mercy, for grace, for his undeserved love and kindness. We must be dependent solely upon him and what he has to give. Dr. Luther preached on today's gospel, "It is ordained that no one shall come into God's presence, find grace, nor obtain forgiveness of the least sin, except through the Lord Jesus Christ." The paralyzed man could do nothing on his own, literally. He had to be carried in by his friends to the Lord Jesus. Mark's gospel says they lowered him through a hole in the roof. The man does not say one word, not even a "Lord, have mercy." Some people just brought him, offered him is the word, to Jesus. But in Jesus, no one gets what they expect. The paralyzed man and his friends turn to Jesus for healing, for relief from this dreaded condition, and they find and hear something unexpected. They do not find a temporal healing at first, not a temporary fix to a physical problem. They find instead something much more important, much more eternal. They find in Christ the very forgiveness of sins. They find the essence of God's presence for them, they find the enacting of God's grace, his undeserved love. No matter how much of a beggar he may be, no matter how much of how paralyzed a person may be, no matter how sick and depressed and diseased a person may be, no matter how far out and to the point of death itself a person may be, that person needs more than a cure than what ails them in the body. They need the forgiveness of sins. They need a clear conscience before a holy and living God. They need his eternal cure. There is nothing more important, not in all of heaven or earth, not in all of time or eternity that you have. There's not a single activity, not a ball game, not a camp out, not a family trip, not a house to clean, not a bed to sleep in, not a charity to raise funds for, not even a widow's mite to drop in a box somewhere. There's not a thing that you ought to be doing. There's not one thing ever more important, ever, than to be brought into the presence of a holy and living God and to find his grace in his preaching of his gospel, and to hear the forgiveness of sins given to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to take my word for it. You have Christ and his word, and he did not blaspheme. The Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, and he proves it. He goes on and heals that paralytic and sends him home. The first thing out of Jesus' mouth, though, is the eternal needs of the paralyzed man. Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. The one true Son of God, come from the Father to bring on the kingdom of his Father to you in the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus would tell his apostles after his resurrection that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in my name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And this preaching of and giving out of the forgiveness of sins is the first and only item on the agenda for his church, and therefore for every Christian to receive as a gift in the church. This was the gift God gave through the Lutheran Reformation and the Blessed Reformer. The very heart of the gospel restored to a place where it had been lost and clouded over and varnished with old centuries of terrible teaching. And anything but being given the gift of forgiveness. And instead, today we preach Christ the crucified and resurrected, through whom you have the forgiveness of sins. Luther again, he said, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come from heaven and has been made man, has suffered and died for your sins. This is the cause, the means, and the treasure through which you obtain the forgiveness of sins and for the sake of which the grace of God is bestowed on you. Therefore, Jesus Christ, God and man, and through his suffering and death, he made satisfaction for your sins, and he paid for them. This is the price that has been set and has been expended for you, by which sin has been quenched and the wrath of God appeased, and the Father has been reconciled to you and has been made your friend. How this forgiveness of sins is applied to you is also seen in the healing of the paralytic man. How very much like your baptism into the Lord Jesus is the healing of the paralytic. He is carried on a bed to Jesus by others, even as infants are carried forth to the font. And even if you were baptized as an adult, you can still see this, and that nothing you could do or say could earn that baptism and what it gives. Because all the promises in baptism come from God's word attached to that water. It is all gift, pure grace and forgiveness. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child shall surely not enter it. We say, with our Lord Jesus, he must give us all things, everything. Forgiveness of sins, salvation from death and the devil, eternal life. This is not because of any worthiness or merit in us, but out of God's fatherly divine goodness and mercy. On account of Christ's death and resurrection, the Father forgives you, saves you, and is pleased with you. And you receive this love, his righteousness, his holiness, his acceptance, and his inheritance by believing and trusting in him. We are all beggars. This is true. This justification of God, where he declares us innocent and righteous, sins forgiven by his grace for the sake of Jesus. This is not our work, his work. This is the heart and soul of Christianity and the lifeblood of the Church of the Lutheran Reformation. It rings out from practically every word that Luther wrote and taught, from the 95 Theses to the small catechism to that slip of paper they found in his pocket. We who once were enemies of God are reconciled to him and made to be his children in Jesus, our Savior. This is what Luther would point us to when he took up his pen. We are beggars of the God who does not ignore us, who doesn't pass us by on the other side. We are beggars of the one who descended from heaven to make his dwelling with sinners. Beggars of the God who received that man on the cot and showed him mercy. Beggars of him who deigns to dwell with us, among us, and yes, even in us, by grace for Christ's sake. For in the bread and the cup that we bless, we share together with Christ and each other the riches of God's grace. So inexhaustible are the riches of this grace, the gospel and sermon and absolution, in baptism and Holy Communion, that our cups truly overflow. We who are God's beggars are not only inexhaustibly satisfied, we are raised up to new life, and we are sent to our heavenly home. And until that day, we have something to give back in thanksgiving and praise. God grant you by his grace to hold firmly to his healing power for you, the forgiveness of sins offered to you through the Lord Jesus Christ and received by faith in and through his word alone, now and unto that great day when we follow him home into our eternal rest. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord.